heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information, as always, on the web, it's equip.org, via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, as always, are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on air today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I'm going to go to your calls in just a moment, but I want to begin today's broadcast by answering an email question. The reason I want to do this is a question that seems to be coming up with incredible regularity. The question by Paula is, I'm trying to find information about, quote, replacement theology, unquote. Information that I was recently made aware of. I'd like to know who started it, and if you agree with the idea that Israel is not still God's chosen people. Now, I've written about this in various places, most principally in my book, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. But in terms of what replacement theology is, quite frankly, it's just a moniker that is designed to be an insult. In fact, it is the ultimate pejorative leveled at those who deny the heart of dispensationalism, or the notion that God has two distinct people, one of whom will be raptured before God continue his plan with the other. And let a Christian question the notion of a pre-tribulational rapture followed by a Holy Land Holocaust in which the vast majority of Jews perish, and she is immediately shouted down as a peddler of godless heresy. In fact, popular dispensationalists are pretty blunt in their present denunciations. Here's one phrase uttered recently. Quote, replacement theologians are now carrying Hitler's anointing and his message. It's pretty strong. The moniker replacement theology is also very inaccurate. Those who label replacement theologians neither believe that the church has replaced Israel nor the other way around. Instead, they hold that all clothed in Christ constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community beautifully connected by the cross. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ, according to the Apostle Paul. If you belong to Christ, you are then Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So it's not a matter of race, rather it's a matter of relationship. The Bible knows nothing about race except to run the race. One other thought about this, and that is that the use of the term replacement, I think, is highly ironic. Because the very people who wield the term as an insult themselves believe the mistaken notion that Israel will soon, here's the word, replace a raptured church during seven horrific years of tribulation. Ironically, those who suffer the rebuke are repulsed by the very rhetoric of replacement. Count me as one. Also ironic, I think, is the fact that those who are now claiming that replacement theologians are guilty of spreading the message of anti-Semitism are themselves in process of herding Jews into the Holy Land, firmly believing that those Jews will soon be slaughtered in a bloodbath that exceeds even that of Hitler's Holocaust. You should read the language of people like Tim LaHaye in terms of the bloodbath that is going to be exacted upon the Jews. It's going to dwarf anything that's ever happened in the past. So it is going to be not only of gargantuan proportion, but nothing like it has ever been seen in the history of humanity. Again, if people like Tim LaHaye are to be believed. Unfortunately, today, these kinds of sensationalists are ruling the Christian church. And quite frankly, it's an embarrassment. If you saw the current cover of Charisma magazine, you would know precisely what I'm talking about. The sensationalism, the sophistry, the sloppy journalism, even the script torture coming from the highest pulpits in evangelicalism today. It's not just fringe people anymore. It's mainstream megachurch pastors that are now on the forefront of communicating stuff that is not tethered to the biblical text, but more akin to their subjective flights of fancy. Again, quite embarrassing. To say the least. I've written about this in various places. Check it out on the web, equip.org. A lot of you are hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today is Grace. She's listening in Rock Hill, South Carolina, WAVO. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm just a simple Christian, doing the best I can to study the Word of God and follow it to the best of my knowledge. And I've been studying a lot about end of days and that sort of thing. And I was wondering what your thoughts were concerning the return of Christ, if it would be post-tribulation, pre-tribulation, or mid-tribulation.
Well, it's going to be after the tribulations that have already occurred in Scripture. There's a tribulation that took place under the Old Testament Antichrist, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. The Jews still to this day celebrate Hanukkah in celebration of the fact that the complete desecration or demolition, I should say, of the temple in Jerusalem and the Hellenization of the Jews was not completed under the Old Testament Antichrist because God raised up Judas Maccabeus to save the Jews from certain destruction in the Old Testament. Now, this, of course, is the sum and substance of what was prophesied by Daniel and then fulfilled 400 years later. Jesus then looks at that tribulation and points out on the basis of that tribulation that there's going to be another tribulation, and he prophesies that the generation will not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. And he is very specific about that generation. This generation, he says. And so Jesus' words were very graphically fulfilled when the temple was not just desecrated as under the Old Testament Antichrist, but manifestly destroyed under the New Testament Antichrist. Now, Jesus also says that in this world you will have tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. And so there are tribulations in every epoch of time. As I mentioned on the broadcast earlier this week, you think about the Syrians. At one time, 1.1 million Christians in Syria. Now, there are maybe as many as 300 or 400,000 because 700,000 5,000 have been exiled or executed, their possessions destroyed or confiscated. So there is a huge, huge tribulation going on in Syria as we speak. And it's not just relegated to Syria. There are many other countries that I could talk about, and the carnage is quite significant. But this is what will happen for those who are genuine followers of Jesus Christ. So in this world, you'll have tribulation, said Jesus, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So I think the idea that there's going to be a pre-tribulational rapture, and then after the pre-tribulational rapture, there'll be a thousand-year semi-golden age with Jesus presiding over temple sacrifices again, that I mentioned Lehi at the beginning of the broadcast. Sacrifices actually atone for sin is certainly roundly disputed by the Scripture. So you have your choice. Either, you know, tear a page out of a book like Left Behind and memorize it, or start memorizing and grappling with the biblical text. Sounds like you're doing the right thing. You're studying the Bible. And when you do, you will not find a single biblical text that talks about a pre-tribulational rapture or a mid-tribulational rapture. What you will find, conversely, in the Bible is that tribulations have occurred and tribulations will occur, and Jesus at some point in history will come back and put all things to right. He will separate the wheat from the tares. So our job in the meantime is simply to be fruitful and faithful.
Awesome. That was the mindset that I had. It's just good to hear somebody who's a little bit more well-versed see the same thing. So that's awesome. Well, I thank you for your time, and I hope you have an awesome day and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much, Grace. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike next. He's listening in Columbia, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Sir, I'd like to know if you could comment on Shemitah. Jonathan Kahn wrote a couple of books, The Harbinger, and then The Mystery of the Shemitah.
Yeah, and in The Harbinger, his book, he's basically saying there were nine harbingers or signs that were drawn from Isaiah chapter 9, and they affected ancient Israel. They were under divine judgment, and now the same signs are being displayed in the United States to tell us that we're also under divine judgment, and Jonathan Kahn is telling everybody that he's figured out the mystery and the pattern. As far as Shemitah is concerned, by this term, and in his book, he claims that there's a mystery behind the occurrence of major world events that are now affecting America. There are divine judgments, and again, his claim is that he has figured out the mystery and the pattern. Let me quite clearly characterize Jonathan Kahn and his writings as esoteric, Kabbalistic, sensationalistic. It's just plain nonsense, and I cannot imagine a single Orthodox pastor in a well-balanced church that would promote this kind of nonsense, and unfortunately, many today are. And I think this goes to the heart of the reality that we live today in an age of biblical illiteracy, an age in which people do not know how to read the Bible for all it's worth or mine the Bible for all its wealth. It is a shame, unfortunately, to even say something negative about Jonathan Kahn is not very well received, but someone has to do it, and so yours truly is stepping up to the plate.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
You got it. Appreciate your call. We are coming too close to a station break to take another call. We'll be taking your calls on the other side of the break. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK, Hank, numerically 888-275-4265. I do want to mention that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation, you'll receive a personalized copy of any one of my books, including The Apocalypse Code. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Again, equip.org/donate. The kinds of things that were happening in the prelude to the year 2000 again are happening. And people have short memories, so the Jonathan Cahns and, many like them, the Tim LaHayes, are having a field day. Again, because people have short memories and they are largely becoming biblically illiterate. They're listening to electronic sound bites rather than testing all things in light of Scripture. Be right back.
The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, a new film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide?, Drs. Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. or visit equip.org. The likelihood of the astonishing intelligence manifested in nature arising from blind chance is simply preposterous. Did you know that a sea turtle possesses a biological system that allows it to navigate thousands of miles using Earth's magnetic field? Learn more about how sea turtle navigation and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the new film by Illustra Media. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Dennis. He's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks. There's a multifaceted question, but I'm going to try to keep it simple so that you can just answer it and we can move on. I've known the Lord since I was very young, 7, 6, 8 years old, but I've run across, I'm always backsliding. I'm always backsliding. And then God, I would imagine it's God. You might know differently, but I would imagine, you know, I get things pulled away from me. So I've been married once. That wife was pulled away from me, but she was brought back. But then I went back into the same stuff. I'll try to make it quick, just because I don't know how to say this. But so she ended up leaving the second time. I got married again. I actually called your program and got your advice about my baby that was about to be born, and I asked you some opinions, and you read Psalms 139, which is my favorite passage in the Bible, which meant a lot to me. But anyway, I had a baby with my second wife, and now I have I've ruined that, and so I don't have my baby, I don't have my wife, and I guess what I'm asking you is, I love Jesus in my heart. I think that I do. But reading the Bible, the more that I read the Bible, the more that I read John 1, the more that I read all these scriptures, if you love me, then this is how you act. So I'm super confused about salvation. And I need some help, man, because I know that I love God, and I know that I want to do good, and I'm not doing it, and it's embarrassing, it's ruining my life, and I just need to get on the right step.
Sure.
You were talking about Bible illiteracy. I am 101 on that. Illiterate as anybody else that you might know, but I just need some help. Just give me some steps. Hey, if I have to be saved today, then I'm okay with that, because I'm worried about my wife's salvation. I'm worried about my baby's salvation, but I'm worried about me. And I feel like I'm just like trying to trick God all the time. Okay, he brings me back my wife and I'm good. But then all of a sudden it feels like that then disappears.
Yeah. Dennis, I think what's important, I think here's what's important. You have to settle in your mind, not just that you have some academic understanding of who Jesus Christ is or some belief in the precepts and principles of the kingdom, but rather you have to determine whether you really genuinely want to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And if you genuinely want to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, then if you love me, you will obey my commandments, which is to say that you will start learning more and more about the commands of Jesus Christ, and you will live your life by those commandments. And one of the first things you recognize that in doing that very thing, it means that you cannot go this journey alone. You have to be part of a healthy, well-balanced church. You also need to partake of the means of grace which have been given through the church, which is to say you have to partake of the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving meal, or Mass, also known as Mission, or the Lord's Table, or Communion, many different monikers for the same thing. But the idea is that when you partake, grace is imparted to your soul so that you might live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Also, within the community of faith, you have others that can help you in your journey, which is to say, when you fall, there's someone there to pick you up. But if you try to go it alone, you are destined for failure, because the very identity of a church means that it is a community of faith, and you enter that community of faith when you're baptized. When you're baptized, you're saying, I'm being buried to my old life, I've been raised to newness of life through His resurrection power, I'm taking up my cross, I'm following Jesus Christ, and I am identifying visibly with the body that needs me as I need it. If you look at Romans chapter 12, it's a passage in the Bible you should become very familiar with. In that passage, it talks about transformation through the renewal of your mind. It also talks about the fact that though we are one part of a body, that body has many members, and each member serves its own function. All the members are necessary. So again, within the community of faith, you have those who help you with your besetting sin, which by your own account has devastated two marriages. Now, I don't know the details of your besetting sin, and that's not important to me right now. What I'm saying is that within the community of faith, you can get help for these things. For example, there are books and plans that very anointed people like Joe Dallas have put together to help you with sexual integrity. All of this, again, is encompassed in a network of accountability. If you try to go it alone, you're destined to fail. You need the body of Christ, and the body of Christ needs you. So what I'm saying to you is that it's not just an individualistic journey where you say, I want to pray, I want to read the Bible, but it is a journey in community. Without the community of faith, we are destined for failure. And at this point, you have seen some of the tragic results. God can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Sometimes Humpty Dumpty can't be put together again, but God can bring beauty out of ashes, and you can cling to that reality. So what I would say is hang on. Let us see if we can help you connect with a healthy, well-balanced church so that you can not only grow in grace, receive grace, but also impart grace to others. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Daryl. He's listening in Illinois on Bot Radio. Hi.
Thank you, Hank, for taking my call. I just want to ask a question. In 46 years, I've been to church about four times, and I'm recently going to start back, and I don't have a lot of money, and I really need the money that I make. And so, you know, I'm supposed to give to the Lord, but if I don't have it, how can I give? And I got like 220-pound dogs that I have to feed, and I'm just curious on what to do. I don't want them sitting next to me.
Well, don't stay out of church for that reason. Don't stay out of church for that reason.
And listen to you on the radio.
Sure. Yeah. Don't stay out of church for that reason. I mean, it's not a good reason to stay out of church. Go to church and give as you are able. And what you're going to eventually find out is that the reason you give is not because you're trying to meet some legalistic prescription or standard, but rather you want to revere the Lord your God always. And there are a lot of ways in which you can give. You can give money, that's your treasure, but you can also give time, and you can give talent. God has uniquely gifted you, and you can use those gifts within the context of the body of Christ. And as you are enabled, you give what you can, and in the process you're going to find out that the arm of God is much longer than your own arm. And if you depend on the arm of God as opposed to depending on your own arm, you're going to be much better off in the long run, and you'll start realizing that your life is not just for temporary manifestations, but for eternal glory. And that's, again, why we give. Moses said about tithing, we tithe because we want to learn the principle of reverencing the Lord our God always. So tithing is simply a way that we can reverence God, and it's not in the sense of being some kind of legalistic standard. It's like training wheels on a bike. It's a way to learn how to start giving. But ultimately, what we're called to do in the New Testament in the most pure form is hold everything that we have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as He sees fit. So we take our time, our talent, our treasure, we lay it on the altar. We say, Lord, I'm not an owner. Rather, I recognize what I am. You've already told me what I am. I'm a steward of all that you have given me, so I hold that with an open hand. You take out, you put in as you see fit. And in the process, you will find out that the Lord will take care of your every need. As has been said in sort of a quippish fashion, He doesn't take care of our every greed, but He takes care of our every need. You'll find out that the Lord will give us life that is life to the full, and you'll find out many of the things that we are enamored with in a crass materialistic culture probably wasn't that important to begin with, and usually burdens us down with all kinds of excesses that we got to take care of and manage and the like, when in the kingdom of God, you give everything you have to the Lord, and I'm talking about yourself now, all these things will be added to you as well. The Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the owner of everything, and He loves you enough to ensure that not a single hair will fall off your head. That analogy is very powerful. You think about all the hairs in your head. I probably don't have that many, but the analogy works nonetheless. God cares about every hair on your head. If He cares that much about the tiny details, imagine how He cares about the macro issues. I've written about tithing in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. And do remember, our resource of the month, if you don't have this, you're missing out. It is quite simply one of the most spectacular DVDs we have ever offered, titled Living Waters. Check it out on the web. Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. It doesn't preach, but by the time you finish this, you will know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made and that God has everything under control.
For millions of people today, science has become the sole authoritative arbiter of truth. Yet the problem is generally not the facts of science, but the theoretical presuppositions that relentlessly distort the interpretation of those facts. One source that clears up interpretive distortions of the scientific facts about Earth's underwater realm is Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. This DVD demonstrates how underwater life, including dolphins, whales, and sea turtles, reflects the highest level of purpose and design. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back to answer more questions. The fast-growing acceptance of same-sex marriage is comparable to a massive cultural earthquake and resulting tsunami that rearranges the social landscape. It may well be the most significant social revolution in human history, but there is also a promise. If things can change this fast in one direction, they can change just as fast in another. CRI's special offer of same-sex marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stone Street and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles on same-sex sexuality and transgender issues from Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas will help you stand for biblical life and truth. To receive the same-sex marriage book and journal special offer as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or simply visit equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide?, Drs. Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. Dolphin's echolocation system, or biosonar, permits it to detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think this ability arose from blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the dolphin's biosonar and other biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive Living Waters on DVD as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And we'll go right back to our phone calls. Reginald next. He's listening in Ohio, Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Yes, hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. My brother's name is Reginald.
Is that right? Wonderful name. Blessed name. First, I would like to ask you, would you be teacher, minister, or pastor? And I have a multi-question that is being born again and serving Christ, following Christ. Would one celebrate Christ coming into the world through Christmas
Well, I think we always celebrate Christ coming into the world. In fact, on the Lord's Day, we're celebrating his resurrection as one who came into the world. He was crucified, and then he was resurrected from the dead. And so the central pillar in the Christian faith is that the one who came in incarnation died to pay the penalty for our sins, and not only died so that we might live, but so that we might have life and have it to the full. So we celebrate that in essence every single week, and then the church also spends special attention to it at a particular point in the year. They highlight the incarnation of Jesus Christ, or the coming of Christ in flesh. And if you can't celebrate that, pray tell, what can you celebrate? Now, there are Christians that do not appreciate the way in which Christmas has been paganized in the present, and therefore they don't want to participate because they feel like it is a participation in paganism. And certainly a strong case could be made in a more and more secularized culture, Western culture in particular. So, but one must remember why the celebration of Christmas was initiated in the first place. It wasn't initiated to somehow or other accommodate paganism, but rather to establish a rival celebration to a pagan celebration. And it was to say, in essence, you celebrate the birthday of a pagan king, we celebrate the real king, and we are participants in the real kingdom. And this is a kingdom that will last forever. So I think that the idea of the church was a very noble idea. It was to replace the pagan celebration with a Christian celebration that pointed to the true king and the real kingdom. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Matthew. He's listening in Illinois on Bot Radio. Hi, Matthew.
How are you, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you. I enjoy your show, and I listen to it quite often. And my question is, I'm doing a study on Revelation. I'm kind of using John MacArthur stuff to guide me through it a little bit. And in studying Revelation 4, and at this point, God's judgments have not been sent down on the earth. Revelation 4 specifically, the 24 elders. I always assumed, as I grew up listening to my grandfather, who was a pastor, that the 24 were 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel. But God didn't say 12 and 12. He said 24. And also, in this chapter, Israel hasn't been saved as a nation yet by God. The 144,000 witnesses haven't been brought up to heaven yet. My thinking was possibly that maybe the 24 represented an exalted, crowned, glorified church. And if you have that, if you have a crowned, glorified, coronated church up in heaven, then is there a chance that you could possibly have a rapture? Or what are your feelings on that?
Well, I mean, if you start with a false presupposition, you're going to end up with nonsense coming down the chute. And I think this is what has, in essence, happened in this particular case. I think you're better off listening to the wise words of your grandfather. You have to remember that Revelation was written about things that would soon take place, those things that were near. In other words, they are things in the for future of those who are receiving the revelation. So you have seven letters written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, and they are going to experience a holocaust of unparalleled proportions, because it will be the beast who is parroting the lamb. Can't duplicate what the lamb does, but he is parroting the work of the lamb, who is seeking to destroy the lamb. And the church is small, it's struggling, It's in a small, relatively geographic area, and so the beast is seeking to dislodge the church from the face of the earth. So this is not about something that's going to happen, as some prophecy pundits today say, in the 21st century, but rather something that happened in a first century epic. And what John is essentially telling the churches in the epicenter of the Caesar cult is, be faithful and fruitful. You're going to suffer for a short time, but your vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. So having said that, let me just simply add to that, that the 24 elders are the elders of the old and new covenants, very much as you intimated, the 12 sons of Jacob and the 12 apostles of the Lamb, which is in essence the fullness of both covenants. They are the foundation of the people of God in the dual covenants, both the old and the new covenant, and they continually fall down before God in worship, in praise, and adoration. As far as multiples of 12, or the 144,000 that you allude to, there's an interesting thing going on with the 144,000. It's paralleled with the great multitude. They're not two different people. But they're two different ways of describing the same purified bride. Literarily, the 144,000 and the great multitude are comparable to a lion and a lamb. Just as John is told about a lion, then he turns to see a lamb, so he is told about the 144,000, and he turns to see a great multitude. In other words, the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb. It's the same entity seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage point, the purified bride is numbered. From the other, she is innumerable, a great multitude that no one can count. There are people today, sadly, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, who suggest that what this means is 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, and that means exactly 12,000, not 11,999 or 12,001. But this must surely stretch the credulity of any thinking person beyond the breaking point. To begin with, 10 of the 12 tribes lost their national identity almost 3,000 years ago in an Assyrian exile, and the other two, Judah and Benjamin, were largely decimated 2,000 years ago by Roman hordes. And even added to that, the pattern of Scripture is to refer to the community of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, with Jewish designations. So New Jerusalem itself is figuratively built on the foundation of the 12 apostles, who entered through the 12 gates inscribed with the name of the 12 tribes of Israel, and its walls are 12 times 12, or 144 cubits thick. So it's far more likely that the 144,000 is a number that represents the number 12, the apostles of the Lamb, multiplied by the 12 tribes of Israel, going back to the Revelation 4 question, and then times 1,000. Of course, the figurative use of the number 12 and its multiples is very well established in biblical history, as is the figurative use of 1,000. There are about 1,000 examples that could be given, metaphorically speaking, of course. But in each case, 1,000 is a round number, is not meant to be taken in a wooden, literalistic fashion, but rather in the fashion in which it's intended. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God will show his loving kindness to 1,000 generations, and on it goes. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Gina. She's listening in Wesley Chapel, Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Gina.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I just had a question for you around your thoughts or opinions around the book, The Beta Satan, by John Bevere.
Well, I haven't read the book, but he is a notoriously unreliable teacher in general. So I would imagine that the book is quite unreliable as well.
Is there any other things you could point to that speak to him not being reliable?
Well, just an unreliable teacher in general. Yeah, we do have information at the Christian Research Institute. Be happy to send directly to you, but I haven't read that book, so I can't answer the question specifically.
Okay, that'd be excellent.
Yeah, hang on. You got it. We're pretty much out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK, HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, a resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. You'll notice as I answer questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I have little interest in being politically correct. Obviously, there's a huge price associated with that. Every time I answer a question directly, it gores someone's ox, and because of the popularity of magazines like Charisma Magazine and their sophistry and sensationalism, which catches the attention of people, if I say something about their sacred cow, they simply stop supporting the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But if I start becoming politically correct, there's no need for me to be. So you're not going to find any political correctness here. If you really care about the matter of life and truth, I'm just asking you to stand with me prayerfully and financially when you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute. In appreciation, I'll send you a personalized copy of one of my books. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. This is for people that become regular supporters. I'd be happy to personalize one of my books to you, a family member, a friend. Again, you can go to equip.org/donate. We're out of time for this week's programs. We'll see you right back here next week with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. The battle for the hearts and minds of millions on our planet will largely be determined by how the facts of science are interpreted. Do the facts of science suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film in Alestra Media's The Design of Life series, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm, showing how its biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of CRI, Hank would like to send you Living Waters on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.